So, thank you, Katie, for reading that. The reason, obviously, we've got a reading from Exodus and Deuteronomy is that they sort of repeat each other, but at the end of these section of verses, they end differently. And we'll go on to a little bit more about that later. Obviously, this is the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Remember from the first four commandments are between us and the Lord our God, if you like, a vertical line, and then a horizontal line for the other six. So this is the last one of the four at the beginning. So this is between us and the Lord. Gets me notes. This, of course, has been quite a debate and controversy over the centuries. Should Christians observe the Sabbath? What day should it be on? And ultimately, are we sinning if we don't? According to our calendar, the Sabbath is on the seventh day of the week. That's using our calendar. If you used other calendars, then you'd find it be on a different day. And of course, this is in line with creation, as we see Genesis 2:2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And like I say, according to our calendars, this would be a Saturday, and it's never actually changed. You know, the Sabbath is still a Saturday. So why do we keep, our day on a Sunday, our day of rest? Some have said it was to do with the Catholic Church, as they have done in the past. They've put Christian occasions on pagan days to persuade people to leave their pagan activity and move to godly occasions. But as we see from Scripture, the church started meeting on a Sunday from the beginning of the church, and it has done. We can see that through the Scriptures, which we'll look at later. The Sabbath was given to the Hebrews as a ceremonial observation, as we see in Exodus 20:11. For 6 days the Lord had made heaven and earth and the sea and all that was in them, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. In Deuteronomy, the last verse that Katie read, it's not the same, but as a reminder that this was 40 years after the wanderings in the wilderness, just about to enter the Promised Land. And Moses just found out that he wasn't going to be able to go into the Promised Land, but he wanted, after God told him to re-say the law to the children of Israel, being in mind that they were all children and weren't around when the first commandments were given. And likewise, all the parents that came out from Egypt would have died by now. So this was the... something they would have heard about, hopefully from their parents, but this was a reminder. So in Deuteronomy, we have this change in verse at the end, verse 15. And remember that thou wast the servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Reminded there, you know, he's reminding them of where they've come from, where their fathers have come from, the bondage they were under in Egypt, the workload, that day after day building bricks for Pharaoh, all hours of the day, no day off, so Monday to Monday, all the way through. So this reminders here is of what their fathers went through to come out of Egypt. Dr. J. Vernon McGee suggests, rather than a ceremonial, this as it was in Exodus scriptures, this is more of a humanitarian for the people to remember, not to be like that when they were actually in bondage. And we can read other scriptures showing us that this scriptures were for the children of Israel. In Exodus 31:14-15, you shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but in the seventh is the Sabbath rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. and continuing on in 16 and 17. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. And you can see that, the children of Israel, it's directly for them. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. The punishment was really clear here. You know, this was a penalty of death by breaking this commandment. And we find in Numbers, in 15:32, this man here was just picking up sticks. He was caught and obviously put in custody when they were trying to find out what to do with him. And Moses seeks the Lord's advice. And the Lord tells him, the man must surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp. So as the Lord commanded Moses, all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. If we was to keep the Sabbath, we would be in trouble for more than that, for more than just picking up sticks. Now, if we were nipping, as we've done many occasions, to Sainsbury's to grab some forgotten gravy for the roast, we would have been in trouble for more than one reason. no cooking at all, because you should have been doing that the day before. And we see that in Exodus 16:29. See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. And don't think that going to a restaurant would have got you out of that cause. Because you're causing somebody else to work. So that's not allowed either. Or even travelling to church on a Sunday would be an issue for some of us. And unless it was less than 750 yards, which they called a Sabbath journey. So I guess at the moment we're probably covered in present times and we're all staying at home. So these rules were quite strict. And again, the penalty of death. And if you were to follow the Mishnah or the Talmud, which was the oral law, in a sense, contains the civil laws that they had written down governing all the situations that they could come across governing the commandments. So they have 39 ways to breach the Sabbath, and each of those was broken down into 39 ways. So there was 1,521 ways to break the Sabbath. You couldn't carry a pen. I suppose it'd be a keyboard and phone now. You could not kill a flea. You could not wear a coat just in case you took it off and you started to carry it. And if we now turn to the New Testament, we'll find Jesus in a couple of situations where he seems to be breaking the Sabbath, where he was accused by the Pharisees for breaking the Sabbath. So we turn to Matthew 12:1-15. We also see this in Mark and Luke. Verses 1-2. At the time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered, and they began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was a-hungered, and they that were with him, and how he entered into the house of God, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, and neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Two things, making a point to the Pharisees of how they were breaking their own laws, but also how the importance of eating for David and his men was more important than worrying about the laws of that, or the what the bread was for. Verses 6-8, but I say to you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you had known this, meaning, I would have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would have not condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. Now, Jesus is making himself out here to remind them, although they're not going to understand it, that he is in charge of the Sabbath. He's our creator, and if they understood that he was much more than the temple, even what the temple resembles, they would have had an understanding and they wouldn't be condemning him or condemning David and his men for the bread that they ate. also we see in Mark 2:27-28, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. God saw the necessity of rest in our lives. And if you are in Christ, you have started your eternal rest in him. And we continue to see in Matthew 12:9-13, also again in Mark and Luke, but in verses 9 and 10. And behold, there was a man which had a hand withered, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And so they're doing this. They're asking these questions to try and find fault with Jesus so they can arrest him and condemn him. So they place this man really before him. And he said to them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? How much then is man a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath days? Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand, and stretch it forth, and it was restored whole, like the other. You have this situation here, you know, he's saying that there's more important things than keeping the Sabbath in these situations. If you've lost the sheep, you'd go and you'd rescue it. And we see Jesus was doing that all the time. Jesus went out to save the lost and to heal. And he did that on the Sabbath day. That was more important, of course, of who he was, than the actual Sabbath. And we see also here in John, he tells somebody what seems to here to actually break the Sabbath rules. John 5:8-10. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath, it is not lawful for you to carry your bed. And he answered them, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. Then they asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn a multitude being in that place. So Jesus went ahead. But Jesus, in this situation, tells a man to take up his bed and walk. And obviously to the Pharisees and Sadducees, they see this and they say, well, he's not meant to do that. He's breaking our civil laws. He's breaking the law. He's working on a Sabbath day. In Jesus's mind, he came, he's working, he's doing his Father's business, healing this man. And this man was not known he was going to be healed. And the fact he has his bed with him, he needs to take it home. So, you know, this situation. Matthew 19. Oh, sorry, just to say, it's interesting as well in the New Testament when the commandments are mentioned in the New Testament, keeping the Sabbath is left out. Other commandments are too, but there's no focus on it. So we've got a couple of little scriptures here which just show how that happens. You've obviously heard the rich young ruler story, but if we see that in Matthew 19:16-21. This verse 16 and 17. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou would enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness, and honour thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things I have kept from my youth, what lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that have and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. So Jesus here, for whatever reason, doesn't mention the Sabbath day here. And we see the same thing in Paul in Romans. For the commandments, Romans 13:9-10. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, and you shall not covet. If there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbour. Therefore, love is a fulfilment of the law. And Jesus showed the ultimate love for us, taking our sins to the cross. Christ actually fulfills the law. And we see that in Matthew 5, 17 to 18. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfil. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or tittle, will by no means pass from the law until all is fulfilled. And we know it's Jesus fulfilled that law, to fulfil the law and the commandments. Also see Paul in a letter to the church in Ephesus talks of the fact us Gentiles were uncircumcision and how we were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of a promise, having no hope and without God in the world. This separated. We didn't have this law that the Hebrews had. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, Christ Jesus, you were once were far off and have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. So this separation we have from the old covenant to the new covenant, this separation from the Jews to the Gentiles. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from two, thus making peace. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. Through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So you see this picture of this old covenant and a new covenant converging, joining at that point. That point was the cross. Up to that point, Israel was under the law, and Jesus fulfilled the law on the cross. And as we know, obviously the nation of Israel who haven't accepted Jesus continue in the old covenant. But for those who do and believe are living in the new covenant, we are made free, not under the law, but living a life wanting to please God. Wanting to continue in the love of God that we have been given and shown to continue in the fulfillment, the fulfilled commandment to love God and our neighbour, which encompasses all the teachings of the law, all the commandments. We won't want to follow another god or idol because we love God. We won't want to steal or kill because we love our neighbour and our friend, neighbour, and so on. As for the Sabbath, for me, I'm not under the law. I choose every day for the Lord in all I do. My freedom is every day because of the Lord, but the principle to give a day a week is a healthy thing to do. It is good for our walk and our rest, our mental health, and I chose that to be on a Sunday. The first day of the week, the day of the Lord, the day the Lord rose, and the day the Lord, the church started. For some, Sunday is a work day. We have all sorts of trades and services, which I'm very grateful for, that work on a Sunday. If this house was on fire, somebody would come and help me, hopefully. Or if somebody was breaking in, hopefully the police would arrive. If I needed medical attention, then I could find a dentist, doctor, or hospital. And we're all very grateful for those services that work on those days and work in shift. And obviously people on shifts, that can change, but what is important is setting the time aside for the Lord and for rest, whatever you do. We are not under condemnation. We are free. We see that in Romans 8, 1 to 3. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin, he condemns sin in the flesh. sorry, I've gone too early on to that, but we'll come to that in a minute. In my Bible, when you read Galatians, there's a write-up at the beginning of it. Now, I thought that was quite good as well, so I'm just going to read you that. Paul begins by setting forth his credentials as an apostle with a message from God. Blessing comes from God on the basis of faith, not law. The law declares men guilty and imprisons them. Faith sets men free to enjoy liberty in Christ. But liberty is not license. Freedom in Christ means freedom to produce the fruits of righteousness through a spirit-led lifestyle. And it doesn't get us off scot-free that we are not under the law anymore. We have a new heart, new life that we're living in, hopefully in the Spirit, and the Spirit will direct us in all things. All things that those commandments encompass, that Jesus encompassed, and they're within our life. And we see that in this scripture here, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I even have a couple of quotes from old church historians that were around. Well, the first one's Ignatius, and he was born in AD 69. He was a disciple of John. And we see here, he says, "No longer observing Sabbaths, but fashioning their lives after the Lord's day, on which our life also rises through him." Also have another one here from Athenaeus, who was born in 296 AD. We keep no Sabbaths, we keep the Lord's Day as a memorial of the beginning of the new creation. There's just a couple more scriptures I want to share to conclude that we should not judge people wrongly in some of these decisions. No, whatever you choose to do, if you choose to put a couple of days aside, two half days aside, whatever, it's not our place to actually judge you in those things. But let me just read these two. So it's the first one's from Colossians 2, 16 to 18. "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of a new moon or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." And the other one we have in Romans 14, 4 to 11. "Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. And he who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks, and he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and give God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.'" Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much that we have your scripture. We have your word, Lord, to teach us. And Lord, we do find things confusing, Lord, and what we should do. We hear so many people say different things. But Father, we know, Lord, that you are Lord of our lives. And Father, I pray that you'll just open our ears, our heart and our mind, Lord, to your scriptures and your words. That you'll just teach us the right way to go. Lord, that you'll teach us to accept the rest that you give us, Father. Lord, don't allow the world to just choke that life that we have out. But help us to redeem time, Lord, in what you give us, Lord. Father, I pray that we'll just set each day time for you in everything that we do in our walk. that you'll just be with us, Lord, in every situation that we go through. Whether we're at work or with friends, at church, Lord, or in free time on a walk on our own, Lord, that we'll include you in that. Father, I pray that you'll just teach us to walk in your Spirit. I pray that you'll just teach us, even in these times, Lord, to maybe understand a bit more of your love for us. And how that you just want us to be healthy in spirit and mind, Lord. Father, help us to see those that are less fortunate, Lord. And Lord, just to be able to share with them a word or something practical that they need. Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll just show us as a light that we can be your servants, not answerable to anybody else, Lord, but to you. Whatever we're doing, Lord, that you have your eye on us. You have just your care and your love that you will just lead us in each footstep that we take. Father, we just thank you for this time that we can have together. Just thank you again for your word and for your Spirit. We just ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.